What up, Grammys? All right, check it out. Hey, yo, what up? The name is Nerd Grows. I got the buttery turf flows, the way I make these herbs grow. This one's for all my tent homies and my earth hoes.
Yo, 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 yo. What are you doing, man?
What?
Start the podcast.
All right.
What up, y'all? It's episode 20, Nerd Grows. We did it. We made it. But yeah, what up, y'all? We got a lot of stuff to go through today. It's a pretty eventful week, hence why I'm dropping the episode late. This is actually my second time recording the episode. The first time, we'll get into it, but I had a huge gardening day on Wednesday, and I decided to kind of leave my mic on while I was gardening and just talking, and when I went to go edit it after, it just ended up becoming a jumbled mess. So I was like, all right, I can't do this. I can't drop this shit. I think a big part of it is that since this podcast is audio only, you had no visual cue as to when time was shifting. So I noticed while I was editing the episode, it was like, oh, an hour went by, but I didn't say it. It just cuts right in an hour later, where that would work fine as a video, but it didn't sound that great as a podcast. So I decided to just start fresh. I'll count Wednesday's recording as a trial run. But yeah, we have a lot of new updates this week. Grateful and I have been making a lot of moves since we announced that we were joining forces a couple weeks ago. If you head over to the TeePublic store, like I said a few episodes ago, I was phasing out the parody shirts, and now you can just get shirts for either me or Grateful or both of us. And not just shirts, we have like stickers, magnets, tote bags, all that. But yeah, I'll put a link in the show notes, or it's in both of our Instagram bios. Also, I wanted to say thank you for everyone who followed us on YouTube once we started the new channel. It's been going really well. I think we're getting close to 50 videos total, which that includes all of our short videos, our couple long videos, and every episode of Nerd Grows. But we're getting there. Yeah, so thanks for all the love and support and comments and DMs and all of that. Last weekend, Grateful put up a video of him setting up raised beds in his yard. And I actually ended up doing it the next day myself. I didn't record it, though. He has these two huge raised beds, and then I have this like one little dinky one. Definitely felt inferior. It's like, you know, you versus the guy she tells you not to worry about kind of thing. But yeah, it was a cool video, so go check it out if you haven't already. As it starts getting warmer here, we're going to do more gardening videos, but it's so cold. Which, by the way, let me get into my first update on that. So I'm not sure if I said it last episode, though, but I have like 25 pepper plants germinating, and then I have 20 cucumbers, and I have probably 16 green beans. So I knew it took pepper seeds a while to germinate. So those are still, I don't have any seedlings or anything. Everything should be good. However, all of the cucumbers are like, they're seedlings, but they're like 6-inch tall seedlings. I don't know what a cucumber plant is supposed to look like. Are seedlings supposed to be that tall? It's probably like at least 4 or 5 times taller than a cannabis seedling. But it also snowed once and then flurried like 3 times this week. So outside is nowhere near ready. So I don't know what to do. Now this weekend, I'm probably going to go get bigger pots for when the cucumber seedlings are ready to go into something a little bit bigger. And then I'll probably throw them all in the small tent. I have the small tent off right now, which we'll get into that in a little bit. But yeah, I didn't realize how fast the germination was, or else I definitely would have waited. So they're going to be little AC Infinity cucumbers until it's warm enough. Now, I have been doing a lot of outside work. I think I said it last episode, but I always keep my lawn mowed and my hedges cut. But I've never really cared about the outside of my property, at least aesthetically, right? I'm more of like a pragmatic, you know, functional person. I want to use things for their function, not necessarily their aesthetics. But I'm changing that this year. So last summer, we got half of our septic tank replaced, and they had to dig up the majority of our backyard. And when they replaced all the dirt, it was like 20% rocks. And like, I'm not about to go through like 5 lawnmower blades this summer, right? Whenever we had a warmer day, I'd spend like an hour outside picking rocks out of the yard. And I'm actually a like I think at this point we've filled the wheelbarrow twice. My yard's not that big. I just have like a regular, like, leave it to beaver suburban house. Yeah, we filled up the wheelbarrow twice, and I have a bare spot in the corner under a dogwood tree. So I'm putting all the rocks there. So it's like a little rock garden in the corner. It's coming out good. There's still a few bare patches, but we also still have some more rocks to pull out. But I think by the time I get most of the rocks out of the top layer of my lawn, it should look pretty filled in the corner. Maybe I'll go buy a bag of rocks from Home Depot or something. And then I had the same situation in the other corner of my yard where I have lilacs and then just a big bare patch of lawn underneath it. So with that, I had actually made some compost, or I got compost started last year, which is weird because I had no intent of gardening cannabis when I did it. And I'm also not using the compost for cannabis, but I did know that I wanted to grow some more vegetables this year. And I made the compost pile right under the lilacs. So it was really easy. I raked off all the stuff that hadn't broken down yet. And then I had this big pile of compost underneath it. And I just tilled and raked it into that area. And then I planted like 3 bags of wildflower seeds and got that all going. So I want one corner to be like a rock garden, and then the other corner just be like this like annoying pop of color from all these different colored flowers. Also, my son, you know, he says he wants more animals in the yard this year. So hopefully that'll attract some birds. I have some bird feeders I'm going to put up. Birds and butterflies and bees and all the fun stuff. Have you guys seen that? I found a subreddit this week that was called like No Lawn, maybe. But it's people who either like just essentially like destroy the grass on their lawn so they don't have to mow it, or they turn it into gardens, or they turn it into flower patches for wildlife. And it's just pretty cool. Like I said a couple minutes ago, I live in like a leave it to beaver kind of neighborhood, so I don't think that would really fly with my neighbors, because they're all like very much Hank Hill types. My wife and I are one of the younger couples in the neighborhood. They're all nice, but I don't think like if I turned half of my front lawn into like a bee sanctuary, will they be cool with that? But I'm going to try to do, you know, a patch of it in the backyard to help pollinators. So I got that going on. And then I also built my little raised bed, which I also put like some of the compost in. I had a bag of soil, just like regular soil, laying around. I threw that in. So everything outside is basically ready. I probably need maybe one more raised bed. And then I do have a little garden area in the backyard as well. And I'm just waiting for it to get warmer. And then we can start all the other fun gardening stuff. But yeah, that brings me on to what's going on with my grow. So as I said last week, I cut down the Compton Kool-Aid. She was beautiful. I ended up getting like, a little bit over 4.5 ounces off of her. That's why I was so busy on Wednesday and why I wanted to record the podcast vlog style, was the drying machine finished. So I had over 4 ounces to trim. I wanted to press 1 ounce of it into rosin. And then my sous vide machine came. So I wanted to take that rosin and begin tempering it into vape cartridges. So we'll go through all of that, but I did that all in one day, and it took forever. I usually get most of my gardening done. There's like one night a week where my mom comes over and she either plays with my son, or they go to the library, or they go out to eat. So that's like my where I'm actually home alone and I can get all my gardening done. And I was just an assembly line powerhouse that night. So yeah, just to go through it all, I took the Compton Kool-Aid out of the dryer. I had it, the dryer actually finished on Monday, but I like to keep the dried buds in a bin for like 2 days before I do any dry trimming. I don't know why. It's just the person who taught me how to grow, that's what they do. I don't know the efficacy of it, so don't necessarily take it as advice. It's just what I do. The common sense in me wants to say that the 2 days allows it to kind of not rehydrate, you know, fully, but to kind of balance back out at the RH of whatever your house is naturally at. So I also feel like it comes out really, really dry from the drying machine. I don't know if I'm doing it wrong or anything like that. I probably could be better about checking it more often. I usually check it like once in the middle. So on Wednesday, the Compton Kool-Aid was ready to trim, and my wife was out of vapes, and I've been having this problem with the dispensary because I'm a really busy person. I can't just go stand in line at the dispensary for an hour. And I'm having this issue for the past few weeks where I get an error message anytime I try to place an online order. And it's not like my bank account's messed up or anything. It's literally like a website error that I'm getting. And I talk to them about it when I go in, and the cashiers are just like, yeah, we don't run the website. We have no idea. But they did say that other people have told them that too, but it's not everyone. It's just specific people. One thing I'm wondering is the bank that I use is merging with another local bank in the area. And I'm wondering if there's some like, if the accounts are getting transferred and merged over and everything, and if that's causing problems. So it could be the bank, but it's not like I'm not getting like a you don't have enough money in your account error or anything like that. But all of that said, I had to get these vapes going as fast as possible. So the first thing I did was trim an ounce of the Compton Kool-Aid. Then I have a Nug Smasher Mini, so I can really only do like an eighth at a time in it. So then I took 8 rosin bags, filled them all up, and then I pressed all 8 bags. So I don't know if you're supposed to do this, but this is what I did. I ended up getting like a half gram out of it. I took all the flattened bags, and I gave them each their own parchment paper, like new parchment paper, and then I stacked them all on top of each other and just put it in the rosin press like a stack of pancakes. Yeah, each one I got like a little bit more rosin out of each one. With the ounce I pressed, I ended up getting like 4 and change grams of rosin, which is pretty good. It's like what, just shy of 15%, which from what I've heard is the magic number. So I took that and then I put it in a mason jar, and then I put it in a Ziploc bag. I don't have any like sous vide vacuum seal bags. And then I put a bunch of rocks in the bag to weigh it down. And then I got the sous vide machine going. So the strategy here is, instead of tempering rosin in the oven, because you can put it in the oven for like 2 days, right? Instead, you use a sous vide machine. So you're getting heat from the water instead of heat from the air is really the big difference. The reason why I went with the sous vide machine is because I have a 4-year-old and I don't want to leave the oven running for 2 days where he can open it or grab anything. So that's the big reason why I got the sous vide machine, is that I can keep it in my grow room and it's, you know, self-operating. I don't have to do anything in the kitchen upstairs. But yeah, shout out to Tip Burners for giving me the advice on this, because he's made it with this method before. I'm about 40-ish hours in right now. I'm actually, after I'm done recording, I'm going to go check it, maybe stir it a little bit. But yeah, it's looking good. It's not completely liquid yet, but it has lost like a lot of its structural integrity. Like, it is a puddle right now, but it's like a thick puddle. So I gotta wait. Still has a little bit longer to go. Also, I don't think my empty carts aren't coming until today or tomorrow. So I can't do it. Even if it was done, I couldn't do anything today. But it should be good. I'm going to attempt to make 5 carts and have them be shelf stable. The problem I was having before, I'm sure I said it 100 times, is that I was using PG to thin the rosin, and then the rosin would kind of re-thicken over the course of a couple weeks. So if you weren't vaping the whole cart immediately, you would ended up wasting some of it, because it would be a third full and we can't pull on it anymore. That, and with the tempering method, you don't have to use any like food grade chemicals at all. So that's less shit you're putting in your body. You can just vape pure rosin, which is nice. Now, on top of that, a head shop opened on the edge of my neighborhood, and I'm sure the two girls that work there are super annoyed because I just run in looking for supplies. I'm just like, oh, do you guys have a stone banger for a dab ring? They're like, Jesus Christ, calm down. What are you doing? So as I've been like making rosin and doing like, as I need more supplies for stuff, I just like storm in there. I was like, oh, give me a nectar collector and a blowtorch. So I went there this week because I was like, maybe I can find a concentrate vape that they had. And they did have one. I ended up getting the, I can't remember the name of the model, but it's Luca. And it looks really cool. It's like it looks like a Zippo lighter where it has a metal flip top. And then when you flip the top open, there's a little dab tool in it, like a stylus for like your phone. And then there's a rosin cup or concentrate cup. So you can just like slide out the little dab tool stylus, put a dab in there, and then close it and then hit it like a vape. It took a little while to get used to because you're essentially just like preheating a little banger inside of the vape. So it's different from an atomizer where it heats up in, you know, under a second. This takes like 10 to 20 seconds to fully heat up to the point where you can take rips from it. So there is a little bit of a learning curve compared to just using a 510 cart. But it's been cool. I figured it would be a good little device to have around if, you know, I have a batch of vapes that mess up or if I end up not having enough bud to press enough rosin. Well, I guess that wouldn't solve that problem. But yeah, because like the whole process of making the carts, tempering the carts, takes like probably, if you count pressing the rosin and trimming it and putting it all in there and everything, it's probably like a 2 to 3 day experience. I figured the Luca would be good to have around in instances where we need some sort of vape device on less than 3 days notice. We can just hit rosin. So Wednesday night, I was just ripping. So I was trimming bud, pressing rosin, and then getting the water bath ready. And then in my tents right now, I have Mango Smile, which is on, like, I didn't even count. I need to write down the date, but it's on like day 4 right now. And then I haven't checked my tent today, but nothing else has popped yet, which is weird because I germinated the seeds, right? I shaved off all that time of having to grow the initial taproot, but I still don't have anything popped. But in there, I have an iced latte from Speedrun, and then I have three cups of the sauce by BGG, and I'm just going to take the best one and give it its own tent, put it in a city picker and all that. So I'm really excited, just waiting for the seeds to pop. Mango Smile's looking good, but I know it's a really popular strain, so I expected it to be. So only being, you know, a little bit more than half a year into growing, I'm still kind of developing my grow style and my grow room. One cool thing about my grow room is that it is a full kitchen. So I kind of like, I have my tents where like the fridge and the oven would go, but then I have a sink and full like 12 foot long countertops. So what I've been slowly doing with the countertops is like breaking it off like into 6 2-foot sections essentially. And then in each section, there's a like a different station for a different growing thing. So I don't have it all set up right now because I have a pool table, like a really old one that I need to throw out, and that's blocking a bunch of the counter. But I have a little station for rosin, a trimming station, a making water station. I have the water bath in one. I have a water distiller to make water for the humidifiers. And they're just all down the countertop. And then I have like a rolling desk chair. And then so that way, like, once it's completely done, I'll be able to sit in the chair and just roll up and down the countertop and have like an assembly line going essentially It's like, oh, yeah, I feed the plants, I trim it, I make the rosin, I make the carts, and just as the cannabis goes down the countertop, it just gets processed in different ways. But I'm really trying to use, like, every part of the plant. I save all the dry sift, and actually, like, I take a couple extra days. I don't know how long you all do this, but I have a trim bin that has a screen on the bottom, and it drops down into the, you know, into the bottom container. But I usually leave my trimmings in it for like a week, and I leave it on the edge of the countertop that I have to walk by to go up and downstairs. So just anytime I walk past it, I just pick it up and shake it a couple times and put it back down. And then after like a week or so, I stop getting dry sift, and then I throw it out. Once again, don't know if that's advisable. That's just what I do. But yeah, it's been a really eventful week of harvesting, trimming, pressing, tempering. Got to use all my skills this week. And that's the funny thing, right? Because this whole week has just been for processing the harvest, because I'm not doing anything with my actual grow right now because it's all either germinating or seedlings. But I think I got a pretty good workflow down for everything now, which is good. And also, you know, I love gadgets, so any little appliance or machine I can buy. But it's more about efficiency, because I work 3 jobs, I have a 4-year-old. So anything that will allow me to shave hours of effort or shave off any manual labor is really good. But all right, I'm going to get out of here. I'll give you updates next week on how the rosin oil came out. Lemon runts should be all trimmed up and nice by then. We can figure out something fun to do with that. And as a little bonus today, I'm going to end the episode now, but I'm going to throw in some of the rants I did on the original recording just for fun. But yeah, until next week, peace, y'all. I also bought PVC pipe to help with the humidifier being on the outside, so I don't have to use the like AC Infinity crinkle tube anymore. I got to make some distilled water. I have another plant in the dryer. It's a lot. I have a lot of gardening to do today, and none of it has to do with gardening the actual plants. So yeah, right now I'm in trim jail. Before I started recording, I was watching some Walking Dead, as you could have guessed. I started the series over, but I'm also reading the comic, and I'm trying to pace it the same, so I'm at the same point in both at all times. So right now, both in the comic and in the TV show, I'm at the point where the group has its first negative interactions with the governor in Woodbury. In the show, they do it a little bit different. In the comic, it's like Rick, Michonne, and Glenn all get captured, and then they get tortured and everything by the governor, like right off the bat. Where in the show, they have Andrea, Michonne find Woodbury. Then Michonne goes, finds the prison with the group, and then the group go and attack Woodbury. And instead of capturing Glenn and Maggie like they do in the show, the governor captures Michonne, Rick, and Glenn. He lets Glenn go after a little bit, I think. I don't know. The governor lies about letting Glenn go, but they all find it, you know, they all find each other and break out. So while in the comic it's like one big event that happens, in the show it's kind of broken down into two separate events. I'm trimming up the Compton Kool-Aid. If you saw it on Instagram, I got 131 grams off of this harvest, and this was my best harvest ever. That was my best looking plant ever. I made it through the whole thing without any deficiencies or anything really happening to the leaves or the plant. It was just healthy the whole time. So now I gotta screw up like at least 6 plants in a row in order to balance my karma out. So I'm going to grow them out and then see which one I like, or see, you know, if they all germinate. and then I'll either give the other two away to friends or, you know, just kill them. All right, y'all, we're trimming. I'm going to make you be in trim jail with me. Yeah, how many of you listened to YAG this week and were paranoid about your electricity after that episode? Like, thanks, guys. Let's induce paranoia on a cannabis podcast. No, it was really informative, and it made me think a lot about my own setup. So I do know that the kitchen part of the basement is on its own circuit. Luckily, like, I have an old house, but the person who we had the house from labeled the circuit breaker, which is nice of them. So I'm running two full AC Infinity sets, a 2x2 and a 2x4. And then there's a light bulb in the ceiling, and that's it. So if that kitchen, the kitchen's on its own circuit from the family room part, and the family room part, even if there is some overlap, all I run on it is my PC and another lamp. So I think I should be good. I mean, if the kitchen was built for 1970s appliances that weren't energy efficient at all, I think it can handle, you know, two LED lights.